Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I'm continuing a series talking about the power of faith-filled words. This is my third day, and the first 2 days, I've just been trying to show how important this is. And I tell you, this is powerful. Already in 2 days, I have really ministered to myself. You know, this is a truth that I have lived for decades. Over 3 decades, I've been walking in this, and there is just so much material in the Word of God that emphasizes the power of words that it's impossible for me to share all of it. This is really a major, major deal. In the 11th chapter of the book of Mark, Jesus told his disciples how he was able to, you know, destroy this fig tree, and in 24 hours it was dead. He didn't physically touch it or do anything. He just spoke to it, and 3 times he emphasized the power of his words. In other words, he was giving you a key to his faith. How was Jesus able to do these miracles? It was because he understood the power of words. He believed in his words. And if you are going to see the power of God operate through you, you're going to have to start understanding the power of faith-filled words. I've used a lot of scriptures already, but yesterday on our program I was emphasizing Proverbs 18, 20 and 21. Death and life are in the power of your tongue. That is a powerful statement. If you really understood what that meant, I guarantee you we would start using the creative power of our tongue instead of the destructive power of our tongue. People are just destroying their life with their own words. You know, people have a double standard. I was raised with this to a degree. I had a great family. I praise God for them. But I'm saying, you know what? I don't think that they really had the revelation that I'm teaching right here. And I remember an instance where my dad, I asked him in front of a couple of friends. We were out doing something, and I just begged him and pled with him, could I go to this show with my friends? And anyway, he didn't want me to go. He told me so, but I just kept pleading, and finally he let me go. But when I got home, I got a whooping. And he said, don't you ever do that in front of people again. He says, you know what, I let you go because I didn't want to sit there and make a scene out of it. But he says, when you're in public, you act this way. When you get home, you might be able to say this and you might be able to talk to me, but don't you do that kind of stuff out in public. And basically, he taught a double standard. Now, again, I had a great home. I'm not criticizing my home, but I am saying that I've seen this with many, many people, that they'll treat people one way in public, but when they get home, they think that this is where you let down your hair, that where you say and you do anything. And that basically, if it's a family member, you can insult them and they just have to be able to take it. And they say terrible things. Did you know, I don't think that there ought to be a double standard. You ought to be the same all the time. You know, when I get introduced, the number one way, this is amusing to me, but the number one way that I'm introduced, and I mean it's nearly consistent. Every place I go, they say, what you see is what you get. He's the same, in private as he is in public. And I always think to myself, are other people different? Are they one way when they're in front of a crowd and they're different? It shouldn't be that way. To me, that seems like you shouldn't even have to mention stuff like that. People ought to be the same all of the time. But sad to say, most people have one public persona and then they have a private persona. And they will say and do things behind closed doors that you shouldn't say to a dog. And they'll think, well, they're family members and I'm just telling them how it is. You don't understand the power of words. If anything, I don't think there should be a double standard, but if there was a double standard, you ought to treat people in public worse. And the people that you're going to commit your life to and that you're going to live with forever, the people who are supposed to be the closest to you, those ought to be the people that, man, you bite your tongue. You don't speak forth your doubt. You don't tell them things that you wouldn't tell other people. You build them up. You ought to use your tongue to encourage them. If you are going to be a hypocrite and have a double standard, treat the people around you better than you treat other people. You know, my brother, he's 4.5 years older than me. And I remember right after he got married, he came home. This is only a month or two or something after he was married. And he came home and his new wife had put out the china and the crystal that they got at their wedding thing. And she was setting the table. And he says, "What's all this for?" And she says, "We've got company coming over." And he says, "So that's the reason you put out the best?" "Oh, yeah, we put out the best for our company." My brother went and got the china and the crystal and the sterling silver and put it all up and put out the other stuff. And he says, "From now on," he says, "we will use the china and the crystal and the sterling for our family, and we'll put the other stuff out for other people." And you know what? I love that. I think that's great. And that's the point that I'm talking about, is that you ought to treat the people that are closest to you the best. And yet somehow or another, we just think that, you know, at home, behind closed doors, you can say and do anything. Death and life are in the power of your tongue, and you ought to use those words to build people up, to build everybody up. But if you are going to be hypocritical, if there's going to be a side of you that's bad, make it the public side that's bad. Make the private side the part of you that is just as good as it can be. Treat these people around you. Treat your wife like a queen, and she'll treat you like a king. Treat your husband like a king, and he'll treat you like a queen. You ought to use your tongue to speak positive things over people. This is how the kingdom works. Words are powerful. When I grew up, we used to have this little saying about sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Did you know that that is an absolute lie? You know what? Sticks and stones might break your bones, but they can mend. But words can go way beyond your physical body. It can touch your soul. It can touch your emotions. There are people watching this program right now. I mean, in every country of the world, we've got 3.2 billion people that can watch this program on a daily basis. And there are people all over the world in whatever culture. This isn't limited to America or Western civilization. This is the same thing that's true in South America and South Africa and Sri Lanka and India, any place that you're watching this. And there are people watching this program that people, parents, siblings, have spoken things over you that cut you to the core. And here you are 20, 30, 40, 50 years later still dealing with the pain of those words that have been spoken over you. If you break a bone, it mends. You can get over it. But some of you are decades later and you still haven't gotten over words that are spoken over you. Man, I'm praying that the Holy Spirit is trying to get a revelation to you that words, it's important. David prayed this, "Set a watch before my mouth, keep the door of my lips." But he was praying that God would help him to control his words because he understood that words were important. You need to recognize that. We just, you know, psychology has told us today, don't keep anything bottled up. Let it all out. Don't suppress anything. Man, you need to suppress. Actually, not suppress is the right word, but you need to kill and bury some of the hurtful, rotten things that you would like to say to people. I mean, it's not going to edify. It's not going to help people. It says in James chapter 1 that the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. You aren't going to accomplish a godly end by you venting and just getting it off your chest and telling everybody what you think. Now, there are some times that you need to confront something because it's beneficial to that person. It's beneficial to your relationship, but you still should do it in a way that is not anger. You can do it in a way that builds up and... So I'm not saying that you don't ever say or do anything that might cause a problem and stuff, but I'm saying that the way most people are just venting and saying things, it shows that they don't understand the power of their words. They just tear people apart and say, "I hate you. I wish I'd have never married you. I wish we'd have never had you as a child. You're a brat," and you say these terrible things to people. And then when your emotions cool down, you just think it blows over and it's gone, and it didn't do any damage. I guarantee you, it has affected things. Death and life are in the power of your tongue. In Hebrews chapter 11, it's talking about the heroes of faith, but in the process, it talks about creation. And it says this in Hebrews 11:3. It says, through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. I'm going to turn over to Genesis chapter 1 and expound on this in more detail, but this kind of summarizes it, that God created the heavens and the earth through words. You know, we often have, you'll often hear songs or poems or something, and it'll talk about how God reached down with His hands and He scooped up this earth and He made man and He flung the stars and all of these kind of things. And I guess it's okay to use that, you know, for an analogy or something. But technically speaking, God didn't use His hands. He didn't do something in the physical and natural, and He didn't sculpt a body and create the trees and out of something and use a tool. According to Scripture, He spoke all of the worlds into existence. The worlds were framed by the Word of God. That word frame there is a term that you use in construction. It means to frame or to build something up, to provide a skeleton. He did it with His words. Words created everything around us. It created all of this physical realm. It created you and me. Words are the parent force. Therefore, everything that was created by words will respond to words. You know, you could go back to the teaching that I did on Monday from Mark chapter 11, where Jesus spoke to a fig tree, cursed it, and it just died. And people think that that's amazing. But if you really understand how God created the heavens and the earth and He spoke them all into existence, it's very understandable that that plant was created by words. Words is what created it. And the thing that created is greater than the creation. Words are how God released His power. Over here in the book of Genesis, you can see this just over and over. I'm not going to go into all of the detail, but look at just some of these selected verses. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 3, "And God said, let there be light, and there was light." God didn't throw some light out. God didn't create a light through some physical, natural means. God spoke it out of His mouth. Look at this passage over in Psalms chapter 33, verse 6. This says, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth." You know, you could spend some time studying on that. I saw a DVD, and a man went into scientific detail, which I'm not equipped to do, but he went into talking about exactly how big the sun was, how many degrees Fahrenheit it was, and he compared the sun to two other suns, and our sun was like 1/100th as big as this other sun. And he got to describing the heat and the immense size, and then he turned over to this verse, that by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. The sun, our sun, and other suns that are 100 times larger than our sun came out of the mouth of God. That's amazing. If you were to sit and meditate on that, man, that would overwhelm us if we really could comprehend that. But this is how powerful God is, and He did all of this by His words. Going back to Genesis chapter 1, God said in verse 3, "Let there be light," and there was light. He just spoke it into existence. In verse 6, it says, "And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." And immediately, I mean, the universe and this expanse was created by Him just speaking these words. In verse 9, it says, "And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so." You know, I don't know exactly how He did this, but it would appear to me that The earth was at one time completely covered by seas, and he said, let the dry land appear. And this must be when all of the mountains and the volcanoes and all of these things happen. And all of that power, think of the mountains, Mount Everest and the mountains that we have here in the United States and other mountains. All of this was created by God's word. He just spoke it and boom, this land came up and all of the seas went down to the low elevations. In verse 11, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass and the herb yielding seed and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed was in itself and upon the earth. And it was so. God just spoke these things. And, you know, I've got an entire teaching on this. I've got a teaching talking about the Sabbath rest that goes into great detail. But let me just briefly mention that it's very important the way he said this. He didn't just say, let there be grass. Let there be trees. Let there be plants. If he had said it that way, then, you know, when those things died after the fall and corruption entered in, and all of the plants and the grass and all of these kind of things died, then he would have had to have created new plants and grass and trees. But it's very important. He didn't just say, let there be grass, but he said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. That's kind of wordy. And some people think, well, that's just the old English. No, God spoke. He didn't just create grass, but he gave grass the ability to reproduce by seed. He didn't just create plants. He created plants that had seed in itself that could reproduce and bring forth on the earth. And so when God spoke the world into existence, he spoke it into existence in such a way that he has never had to create new grass, new trees, new plants, new animals, new people. He gave everything that he created the ability to reproduce after seeds. People are a product of seeds. Animals are a product of seeds. Man, that's powerful. If you read this, and once you get this revelation about the power of words, you can see that it's very specific the way that the Lord said things. In Psalms chapter 89, verse 34, it says, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone forth out of my lips. Once God says something, it's a covenant. It's a law. It's a contract. It doesn't change. Once he said that the night is separated from the day, that the sun is here to give light upon the earth, the moon is here to give light upon the earth, and once he spoke these things into existence, it has been going for thousands of years because it's unalterable. It's the way that he created it. This is what the Bible is all about. You read the Bible and you read how God said, how God set things up, how the kingdom works, not only the spiritual kingdom, but the physical kingdom. And you have to learn these laws and cooperate with them. God spoke all of these things into existence. Words started the worlds. It started everything. It started you and me. And if you are going to operate in agreement, in harmony with this creation and see the power of God operate in your life, you've got to learn how to start using words. You got to speak your faith. You got to starve your doubt and unbelief by not speaking it, by not empowering it. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, and God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven. Now, this is very interesting. God created the universe, and on the first day, he said, let there be light. But this is the fourth day before he created the sun, the moon, and the stars. That's amazing. I don't really understand that completely. But this is, you know, it says in Romans chapter 4, verse 17, that God calls those things which be not as though they were. I don't understand this. This is really just totally different than our human experience. But God created light 4 days before there was a source for that light to come from. That's amazing. Now, people can just say, well, he was the light, just as in the New Jerusalem. Well, that may be the way that it happened. I don't know, but it's just interesting to me that 4 days before there was a sun, moon, and stars, he created light. And light was there before the things for that light to come from. At the very least, even if you believe that he had created the sun, the moon, and the stars, and they were somewhere else, it goes on to say that he set them in to give light upon the earth. So maybe they were someplace else, but he brought them into the right proximity. If we were any closer to the sun, we'd burn up. If we were any further from the sun, we'd freeze to death. God placed all of these things after he had created the earth, and he put them there. And of course, we now know that the earth revolves around the sun, but God created all of these things and did it specifically so that it could give light upon the earth. This is amazing. God spoke and the sun came out of his mouth, Psalms 33:6. God said in verse 20, and God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And so God created all of the sea creatures and all of the birds by just speaking them. In verse 22, it says, and God blessed them, saying, boy, I've got a great teaching. I think that this is, I retaught it recently, and it's entitled How to Receive God's Best. But it's talking about the difference between a blessing and a miracle. And a blessing is always spoken. God's spoken favor. And this Bible is just full of blessings that God has spoken over us. And the only thing that it takes for these blessings to come to pass is for us to believe and then begin to speak the blessings over ourselves and over other people. Instead, most people curse themselves. Most people say, oh, nothing I do works. If I've washed my car, I know it's going to rain. You know what that is? You're speaking that you're cursed, that nothing ever works the way good for you. You go wash your car and it's going to rain immediately. You do this, it's going to fail. Whatever you touch turns to dirt. That's a curse. And you don't realize it, but there's power in your words and you're speaking these curses over you. God blessed them by saying, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. In verse 24, it says, and God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature. And he created all of the cattle and all of the beasts of the field. And then in verse 26, and God said, let us make man in our image. God literally spoke Adam and Eve into existence. And then he blessed them in verse 28 by saying, have dominion, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. And God did all of these things. All of creation was made by words. Words are the parent force. Everything on this earth, dirt, animals, trees, plants, people, will respond to words because they were created by words. I know many of you think this is strange, but all I'm sharing with you is what the Word of God says. If I have to accept something as being normal, I'm going to believe that the Word of God is normal and that your way of looking at things are strange. Amen. I'm out of time today, but I am going to continue to talk about this on tomorrow's broadcast, so I encourage you to listen in. Also, I encourage you to listen as our announcer gives you some information about how you can get this brand new series of teaching that I have entitled The Power of Faith-Filled Words.
The faithful support of partners makes this program possible. We invite you to join Andrew as he spreads the message of God's unconditional love and grace. Write, call, or visit our website and become a partner today. While flipping TV channels in their home in Kathmandu, Nepal, Bob and Dawa Wesley stumbled across the Gospel Truth broadcast with Andrew Womack, and their lives were changed forever.
When I found out that how much God loved me and what He did for me, I started understanding the gospel, actually.
Desiring to fulfill God's call on their lives, Bob and Dawa moved to Colorado Springs and attended Charis Bible College. Then it was back to Nepal and back to work.
I started walking towards my office and I started seeing these two little boys, and their feet was cracked and, you know, their clothes were really, really dirty. I asked the Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord said, feed them.
With that direction from God, their ministry was born, feeding the destitute boys of Kathmandu, both physically and spiritually.
I've always focused on sharing the gospel with these kids. And it is only the Word of God that changes the lives of the people. It is only the gospel.
Another changed life, changing the world. Andrew Womack Ministries and Charis Bible College.
Andrew's complete teaching titled The Power of Faith-Filled Words was recorded live at a recent conference. It's available on either CD or DVD. Or if you prefer, you can get the DVD as seen on TV. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify CD, DVD, or DVD as seen on TV when you contact us. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The first audio teaching in today's series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this first CD titled The Creative Power of Words, free of charge. On today's program, Andrew mentioned his teaching titled Our Sabbath Rest. This product is available on CD for a gift of any amount when you contact us. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Seattle, Washington this week for a Gospel Truth Rally February 17th, in Portland, Oregon for a Gospel Truth Rally February 18th, and in Colorado Springs, Colorado for Charis Bible College Campus Days March 14th through the 16th. He'll also be in the Washington, D.C. area for a Gospel Truth Seminar March 29th through the 31st, in Orlando, Florida for a Gospel Truth Seminar April 12th through the 14th, and in Colorado Springs for the Better Way to Worship Conference, April 25th through the 27th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
Have you ever wanted to check out back issues of Gospel Truth Magazine from Andrew Womack Ministries? They're available online at awmi.net. Just log on to our website, look to the left, and click on Extras. Then look to the left again and click on Online Magazines. Once you're there, you're free to browse through our selection of Gospel Truth magazines from years past. Check out some great articles and be sure and check out the current issue while you're at it. Gospel Truth Magazine, now available online at awmi.net.